Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to In the Flow Live Radio.
I am your host, Lady Shanika Lachey, in the Flow Live Radio, where the only way to flow is with our Father leading our way. Today, we have a great guest who's going to be on the air with us talking about his music as well as his ministry. Praise God. Man of God, are you on the line?
Yes, hello.
All right, you are live on the air with In the Flow Live Radio. I'm your host, Lady Shanika Lachey. Jay Santana and Jay Santana Ministries, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on In the Flow Live Radio. I've taken some time to take a look at some things that you are doing and in your ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, where you're from?
Well, Jay Santana is originally from Detroit, Michigan. That's where I was born and raised, and that's pretty much where, you know, my entire Christian church background comes from. I grew up, you know, in a very spiritual family. My mother kept all of, you know, me and my brothers and my sister kept us in church. You know, majority of our childhood years all the way up until teenage years. And I've always loved, you know, church, and I've always loved music. Music was a love of mine ever since I was knee-high, actually. My mother said that, you know, she would have company over at the house, and it would be certain times when some of her friends would have me sit on their lap, and I would just start singing, you know, singing a song, or, you know, I'm not sure what it was I was singing, but she said I would be singing songs, you know, and her friends would be very entertained, and they, you know, say, you know, would always say that, you know, he's going to be into music when he get older. But, you know, as I got older, of course, you know, I stayed in church all my life, but I didn't live for God all my life. And so, you know, as I got older, I began to hang around, you know, the wrong crowd. And, you know, in Detroit, you know, it was a lot of gang banging back then. And I grew up on 6 Mile. 6 Mile is the actual gang. 8 Mile is a gang, too. But they didn't really talk about that in the Eminem movie. But I represented 6 Mile, and we would beef with 7 Mile. And when I say beef, I'm talking about shooting at each other, trying to kill each other, stomping each other out almost to the point of unconsciousness.
Wow.
I mean, everything you can think of, we experienced it. I experienced it in my teenage years during my high school years. You know, just some of the things that I did during that time. You know, when I went through that, that really woke me up. But what really woke me up was I had an older sister who was a gospel artist in Detroit. She was my only sister. And my sister had sickle cell disease. She passed away in 1998 at the age of 31. And that really broke my heart, you know, being that she was my only sister. And on top of that, she was a singer as well. And she was trying to pursue a career in gospel music also. But she didn't get a chance, you know, because she passed away. And that was the breaking point for me. My sister passed, you know, I almost feel like my sister passed. I feel like my sister had to leave in order to save my life.
Wow, that's something. I just had a P413 Foundation on In the Flow Live television. We aired last week. The owner, she's also a sickle cell warrior. And so I learned a lot about sickle cell just last week. So, wow, this is so God that her business and her whole walk and her whole kingdom drive is surrounded around sickle cell awareness. So when your sister passed away, and I'm so sorry to hear about that, and you said that's when you, like, really said, okay, I'm gonna do this for God. Tell us about that call and when it came, and when did you answer it?
Yes. Before my sister passed, you know, like I said, I was always in church. And, you know, during the time my sister passed, I was the drummer of my home church. And so I was always active in ministry. I was always active in music some kind of way. But the singing didn't really, you know, come about until my sister passed. Before my sister passed, I pretty much was satisfied with just being a drummer and, you know, just doing what I had to do on Sunday morning, but not really, you know, taking anything serious. Because, like I said, during that time, I was still hanging out with my boys, you know, mm-hmm. that was living all types of ways. So, you know, when my sister passed away, you know, before she passed away, people have prophesied to me and told me, you know, preachers had came to my church and said, you're called to preach. They said they saw the call of ministry on me. They even said they saw the call of pastoring eventually one day, you know, and they didn't really say anything about music. You know, like I said, I was a drummer at the time, you know, and I've always loved music. Before I really gave my life to God and got serious, I was a rapper in Detroit. And I'm talking about like mm-hmm. actual hip hop rapper, profanity user and everything, you know. And so when, like I said, again, when my sister passed away, that's what really changed my entire direction. I can remember I threw away all of my secular CDs and tapes, and I threw away all of my vulgar music in the garbage. That was wow. like my way of showing God, like, I'm really serious. Like, it's not a game. You know, God, I'm serious. I yield to the call. I say yes. Once my sister passed, I begin to indulge myself into gospel music, and I always listen to gospel music around the house because my mother always played gospel music as I was growing up. She played LPs and all type of stuff, you know, James Cleveland, the Clark Sisters, et cetera. So I had an idea of gospel music, but being that I grew up in the hood, you know, in my hood, if you listen to gospel music or anything like that, you was considered lame or considered like you soft. You know, and so
yeah.
I didn't listen to gospel music because I didn't want to be soft. You know, I wanted to be hard, you know. So when my sister passed, I almost forced myself to really indulge into gospel music and just really get a love for it, you know. And I just began to listen to the radio every day. And I began to sing, you know, just sing along to different songs that was on the radio. And I always had the gift of singing, but I just never took it serious. And when my sister passed, I almost felt like it was a premonition for me to continue my sister's legacy in gospel music. It was almost like God said, your sister is gone, and because she couldn't continue her legacy, why don't you continue her legacy through you?
Wow, that's a big mantle for you to
absolutely.
Have. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was amazing because when I said yes, when I actually yielded, you know, yield to the mandate, I began to write songs. God began to give me lyrics, and I just began to write songs or whatever. And I didn't really have resources to record or anything. And I started off singing background in Detroit. I sung for a local artist in Detroit, Michigan. And we would travel around the city, and we would, you know, sing at different churches. And I was able to get, you know, sort of gain a name for myself as a background singer. And it was a lot of fun singing background professionally. And I was just, you know, I learned really the business of gospel music even that way. And
mm-hmm.
it got to a point where people would come see us sing, but they would say, you know, after the event was over with, they would say, man, I really enjoyed, you know, when you did your solo, because the guy that we mm-hmm. sung with, every event, he would have each group member do a solo.
Okay.
And that
okay.
was pretty much your time to really showcase your ministry, what God gave you, what God, you know, what you could do, you know. And so whenever I would do my solo, I would have so many people come up to me and say, man, I really enjoyed your solo, and I really enjoyed your ministry, your voice, and, man, you really got it. That's what they would tell me. Man, got it. You know, I always had people prophesy to me and tell me, I'm a leader. I'm not a follower, but you're a leader. You know, God has called you to lead people. And so after a couple of years, I sung with the group. God spoke to me and told me it was time. It was time to step away from the group and to pursue my own ministry as a leader of my own group. And I got a group. I formed a group in Detroit called Jay Santana and End Time.
Hmm.
And, yeah, this was during the MySpace days. I know you remember MySpace.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, MySpace. This was during the MySpace days. I was able to network, and I was able to meet my background singers through MySpace. And
wow.
They came, and we rehearsed. I taught them some songs that I had wrote, and we rehearsed them, and then before you know it, I was out doing my own, you know, events around Detroit, Michigan. During this time, I was dating my wife when I was singing background, but once I got my group, my own group,
mm-hmm.
I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is from Atlanta, Georgia. She's a country girl. You know, when I met my wife, I was very interested in how she grew up and just the country culture, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's totally different than being a city guy, you know, because I'm a city boy. And so
yeah.
I told my wife, I said, man, it would be dope if, you know, we could possibly, you know, move to Atlanta, you know, and, you know, because I felt like it was more opportunity for me musically in Atlanta versus Detroit. And a lot of people don't know it, but even though Detroit is considered one of the gospel meccas in the world, it is very competitive. That city is very competitive, and I'm not knocking my city at all. I got much love for Detroit, but it is very competitive in Detroit, and it was really hard for me to really get off the ground in Detroit due to the competitiveness, you know. And so God opened up a door for me and my wife, and we was able to move to Atlanta, Georgia. We moved to Atlanta,
Thank
Georgia.
God.
Uh-huh, in 2002, we moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and when I moved to Atlanta, that's when everything just took off for me. That's when the doors just began to just open wide, and, I mean, I looked up, and I was doing shows and events every weekend, you know, and that's when I first learned really about bookings and actually, you know, having a rate, you know, and really just learning the business side of ministry, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
when I was in Detroit, you know, I was just doing it just because I love to do it. But when I moved to Atlanta, I was really able to learn the business side of music and how you really should value yourself as an artist. Atlanta really helped launch me. It really helped launch my ministry. I mean, I was ministering, like I said, all over the place. And the biggest door that was open for me in Atlanta, Georgia, was not only TV, I was able to actually perform on a Christian television show called Atlanta Live in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Georgia, which is a well-known Christian station. It's pretty much like TBN. It's basically an Atlanta local channel that showcases independent artists around the city. And not only was I able to minister there, but the Lord blessed me to minister at Bishop Eddie Long's church in Atlanta, Georgia. I was able to minister to his youth department. He had a youth service, and his youth pastor reached out to me on Facebook and booked me to minister at his church, New Birth for the young people. And that was the biggest door. Yeah, as an independent artist,
wow.
That was huge. You know, I didn't even know they knew about me. I'm like, you know, when the youth pastor hit me up, I'm like, how did you find out about me? He said, man,
well,
I met you. He said, you don't remember, but I met you a couple of years ago at an event you was doing, and I really enjoyed your ministry. And he said, I never forgot about you. And I mean, I was
and
so.
Well, you know, the Lord says that he will make our name great. And let's
yes.
talk about Jay Santana Ministries.
Yes.
Now, I must admit, when I first came across you, I did think that you were a Christian rapper. I have to put
okay,
that out
absolutely.
There.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was your image or your persona. And so when
Absolutely.
I actually saw that you were a psalmist, a recording artist, how do you describe your style of music?
Absolutely.
How would you describe it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I get that a lot. I get the rapper thing a lot due to, I believe it's, number one, it's my name. You know, when you hear Jay Santana, you sort of, you don't think of singing. You sort of automatically think of hip hop. You think of rap. You know, you know, and so, you know, the name as an artist pretty much is sort of like mystery behind it, and that's what I wanted. I wanted you to not really know what to expect. You know, when you hear Jay Santana, you like, man, is he a part of Carlos Santana family? You know what I'm saying? That's a Spanish singer, Carlos Santana. Like, you know, what is this? You know, but the best way to describe my style is it's urban, you know, because like I said previously, I come from the hood. You know, I come
mm-hmm.
from inner city of Detroit, you know, and when
mm-hmm.
God gave me my gift, even though I grew up and I learned, you know, I'm a huge fan of the traditional sound of gospel music and the contemporary sound of gospel music. But when
yes.
God told me that it was time for me to go out and to spread my own style of ministry, he told me, he said, what I want you to do is I never want you to forget where you came from. And what I mean by that is never forget those elements that you was around as you was growing up in the hood. You know, I hung with drug dealers. I've seen it all. I hung with drug dealers. I would see crackheads and dope heads walk around in my neighborhood, and we actually knew the dope heads. We knew the crackheads in my hood. You know, they was friendly and all, you know, and everything. And so God told me, he said, I don't want you to, you know, start singing for me and forget about those people that you used to hang with.
Yeah.
I want you to make a sound that can still relate to them. Make a sound make a sound that they can relate to.
Yes.
Make a sound that's not too churchy for them. Because the people I hang with, the people I used to hang with didn't go to church on a regular basis. They didn't know the scriptures, you know.
Right.
They had no clue about the things of God. And God told me, he said, give them a sound where you can almost be like their pastor, their preacher, almost like a street preacher to them. Make music for them, you know, allow your sound to be a sound that they can relate to. And so when I decided to write my songs and different things like that, and I began to come up with the different musical tracks for my music, I said, I want a sound where it's not too far out. At the same time, I'm able to reach the church and the world, the people that feel hopeless, the people that feel like it's no hope for them. My ministry is directly for them because that's once where I was. And that's
yes.
one thing I believe in that. I really believe as an artist, it's important that you don't, you know, I know the Bible did declare, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I am a new creature, I understand that. But
yes.
I definitely believe that our past is not meant for us to just throw it away and act like it never happened, but we should take our past and use it for God's glory and to help others come out of whatever they're going through and let them know that you've once been there.
Amen. And I
you
can
know?
Definitely relate to that, definitely.
Yes.
Amen.
And so my sound is a mixture of all of the elements that I grew up around, the streets, you know, R&B, you know, R&B is something that I grew
mm-hmm.
up on, you know, Usher and, you know, Ginuwine and just all of those different artists. I grew up listening to those artists, and so my music has a similar sound to them, you know, Chris Brown and, you know, different artists like that. You know, my music has a similar sound to theirs, but without a doubt, when you hear my music, you know for a fact I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You ain't got to wonder if I'm talking about a woman. You ain't got to wonder if I'm talking about myself or what is he talking about. You know for a fact when you hear my lyrics, you know for a fact I'm talking about Jesus. And one thing that I make sure that I do is that I make sure that I use scripture even in my
yes.
songs. You know,
yes.
I go to the Word of God to convey, you know, different messages through my lyrics. So that's the best way I can describe it. It's like an urban street, you know.
Urban street gospel.
That's what you can call it, urban street gospel, you know. But God has blessed me to be able to write the traditional sound gospel
mm-hmm.
music. Like I have praise and worship songs that he's given me that I believe is going to bless the entire world, you know.
Amen.
One thing I always tell people that it's important that however God give it to you, do it the way he gave it to you and not do it how you think you should do it because everybody else is doing it. Do it the way he gave it to you. Do it in the authentic way that he gave it to you, because believe it or not, trust me, people may not get with it when you first start out with it, but as time
mm-hmm.
progresses, people will eventually get with it, and it will be a sound, an authentic sound. And I can honestly say I have an authentic sound, an authentic ministry where you can't really compare it to anyone else, you know. And so that's the best way I can describe my sound.
Your sound.
My sound.
Awesome.
Yes.
I could definitely relate to everything that you said, having been a secular artist myself and called into the gospel. I struggled as well. My first recording on the gospel side was straight R&B tracks. But, you know, as you said, my lyrics had changed. He gave me a new song, so I could definitely relate.
Yes.
And even back then, almost 15 years ago now, I struggled with the sound and how God gave it to me. So I really, really appreciate that you just ministered to me. As I was listening to you minister out on YouTube and things like that, and there was something that you had mentioned about never forgetting elements of where you came from. And I heard a testimony that you were giving in regards to your song, Heaven. And you said that you never wanted to get to the point where you forget what it's all about.
Yes.
And you said basically people get so caught up in gigging and doing shows that you forget why you're doing it. Tell us about that song, Heaven, and your testimony behind it. That's
absolutely
your second single, correct? Correct, off the next chapter?
Correct. Yes.
All right.
Off the next chapter, which is my latest release, and it's available on iTunes and Amazon, as well as PayPal. You can get the hard copy. The message behind Heaven, it's a few messages behind Heaven. The one that you described is one of them. That's one of the messages behind it. And yes, Heaven is my personal conviction song. You know, as an artist, and I'm sure you can relate, you know, you start out, especially when you're doing it for God, you know, you start out saying, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. It's all about you, Lord. It ain't about me. It's about you, Lord. You know, you get the glory. You know, it ain't about me. But as years go by and you're constantly, people is constantly hearing your music and they're getting exposed to your music, and then before you know it, all you hear is, man, you hot, man. Man, you dope. Man, you fire. Man, you can sing. Oh, my God, you can blow. And you start getting all of this glory on yourself.
My God.
It starts playing with your psyche a little bit. And you start feeling yourself, as they would say. You start feeling yourself a little bit, and you sort of forget that it's not about you, but it's about him. And so when God gave me the Heaven record and he gave me those lyrics, as I was writing that song, it was actually convicting me, because I sort of, the place I was at when I wrote that song, I'm going to be honest with you, I sort of had forgot why I did what I did.
My God.
But I was still singing for him. I was still doing shows. I was still ministering and different things like that. But deep down inside, it was sort of all about Jay Santana. And when God gave me that song, he said, number one, I'm going to give you a song that ain't nobody else singing about, because in this day and time, and I'm sure you know this as well, you really don't hear a lot of songs about heaven no more. I don't know if you know that.
Come on.
You don't, you know,
true.
The only song that I can think of right now that sort of ring a bell in my head about heaven was the song Mary Mary came out with. I got to get myself together.
Yes.
I got some place to go, you know, and I'm praying when I get there, you know. And that was a great record. I really liked that record. But God was like, you know, when he gave me that song, he said, I'm going to give you a totally different vibe about heaven. And I want you to sing about heaven, because ain't nobody talking about it. Everybody is so into this world and staying on this world and enjoying themselves on this world, on earth. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because God said, you know, until you come back, you know, we are to stay busy. So I understand that part, but God still let me know that we never should get so caught up in this world that we forget that this is not our home, that we're just here temporary. You know, we're just passing through, as they would say, the old folk would say. We're just passing through. You know, when I was writing that song, God was saying, not only am I going to give you a song, you know, and a message that a lot of people is sort of ducking away from, you know, but he said that I'm going to also make you remember why you're doing what you're doing, why you're singing the music that you sing about, and why you're singing, you know, about what you sing about. You know, it's not about you, but it's about heaven. It's not your home. You know, no matter how much success you get, you know, this is only temporary, and you don't want to do all this singing, and you look up and, you know, it's all in vain, you know, and that's what God told me. But not only did God speak to me and tell me that when I was writing the song, but also if you hear the actual heaven record, you at the end, I pretty much, you know, say, you know, the main purpose of the song and who it's dedicated to, and that song is dedicated to my sister. Heaven is dedicated to my sister, and at the end of the record, I say, I got a sister there. You know, I don't know about you, but I got to get there. That's what I say at the end. And when I wrote that song, you know, I said, you know, I want to give my sister something. I just want to give her something to let her know, you know, that she, you know, she is the inspiration behind my music ministry, you know, and everything that I do. She is the inspiration behind it. And so,
amen. I am going to play Heaven, which features Rachel James, and is your second single from the next chapter, your album. The next chapter. I actually want to talk about your video as well too. I'm seeing clips out there of the video coming soon, and that's the Blows My Mind video. Tell us about that.
I remember confessing my desire to him of shooting a music video, and I've always said, you know, whenever God do it, it's going to be in his right timing, you know. And you know, a couple years later, I look up and I get a message not only from a videographer telling me he want to shoot me, but for absolutely free. I ain't got to pay a dime. I said, he's to do something else. My God, you know, it pays to wait on the Lord. I was just so excited. And we linked up and we shot the video within like 2 months. We have two locations on the video. I shot one part of the video on Jacksonville Beach, and then we shot another part at a random railroad tracks. The song Blows My Mind talks about how the grace and mercy of God blows my mind. Real simple.
Yeah.
It's grace and mercy for us. No matter how much we screw up, no matter how much we mess up, no matter how much we, you know, leave him and then come back to him, his love never changed. And that blows my mind. Also, my daughter, who is 4 years old, she'll be 4 years old in November. She's in the video as well, my daughter. Yes.
All right, making her cameo appearance, her debut.
Absolutely.
Appearance.
She's getting it in early. I'm making sure she get into the game earlier than I did, you know. The official release date of the video will be September 21st. September 21st, that is on record. September 21st will be the official release of the video, and it will be released on Vevo.
Vevo.
It will be released on Vevo. Yes, Vevo. Not YouTube, but Vevo. Yes, on Vevo. And I just can't wait to share it. Share it with the world and share it with all of my supporters.
All right, y'all heard that official release date for Blows My Mind video by Jay Santana, September 21st on Vevo. We're also, by the way, for those who are listening, In the Flow Live TV is on in Jacksonville on Living Witness TV. We air on Mondays. Actually, Prophetess Marilyn Fisher and her husband, Matt, I want you to tell us what's next for Jay Santana Ministries. Your third album, is it?
Yes. I'm currently working on my third album, which is another thing I'm excited about. You know, the music video and just this new music is right now what's really happening for Jay Santana right now. I'm in the lab working on my third project, independent project, on my own. And I am so excited about this music. When I say this music is next level, and it's definitely picking up right where we left off on the Next Chapter project. You know, and I would advise any listeners out there, you definitely want to get the Next Chapter project so that you can be caught up to speed with my ministry and my sound and the way that God, you know, pretty much gave me the songs that he gave me, because we're pretty much picking up right where we left off on Next Chapter. That's where we're picking up with this new project. I'm excited about it. I'm releasing the very first single of the album in January. I don't have a date as of yet, but we're pushing for January for the official release date of the first single of the project. I can't give away the title of the single as of yet. I can't wait till you guys hear this record. I really feel like this record could possibly be my biggest record to date. This song has the potential to honestly, you know, hit billboards, and we're doing whatever we can. My team, we're doing whatever we can to make sure that we get it out there for that to possibly happen. But it's all to glorify God and to let the believers know that God is yet on the throne and that he is yet doing a mighty work in this world and that he is still worthy. He's still a good, he's still good, you know, and I will forever live for him.
Amen, amen. And one last point that I wanted to touch on here, your motto, your mission, changing the world in the spirit of excellence. What does that mean to a world that is subpar to excellence of any kind?
My God, absolutely. Well, that's a great question. And to be honest with you, like you were saying, the world is such in a subpar state. But when God gave me that slogan, I also thought about the church. The church is in a subpar state and condition. You know, me being able to travel, I've seen all types of things. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to ministry, when it comes to business, when it comes to church, you know, when it comes to the way people treat you, et cetera. And so when I came up with my slogan, I said, you know, I want, when people think of Jay Santana, whether it's my music ministry, whether it's my preaching ministry, I'm also a youth leader as well. I was once a youth pastor in my home church in Detroit, Michigan. I'm a licensed minister, and I'm also a life coach as well.
Mm.
And so when God gave me my company, he said, I want your legacy to be that you approached everything in the spirit of excellence and you left your mark in the spirit of excellence. And that simply means doing things in a professional manner, doing things in a tasteful manner, and just giving God your best, giving him your best. Whenever you're called to do anything, make sure you're giving it your best. Don't give it 50% of yourself. You know, give it your all, you know, and make sure that it's done in a professional way in all that you do. And I just feel like the church really needs that. And I've really seen a lot of that since moving here to Jacksonville. I've seen a lot of subpar ministry. You know, I really have. You know, I'm just being honest. I really have.
Yeah.
And that's when God really gave me the concept. He said, you know, somebody got to stand up and represent me in a way that's pleasing, you know, pleasing to me, not just offering up God anything, you know, whatever you do for God, God will receive it. That's what they say, you know, but, you know, I'm just a firm believer of giving God 110%. You know, the world, there's no reason the world should outdo us in everything. They outdo us in their award shows. They outdo us in their music videos. They outdo us in the way they present themselves as artists. I mean, just everything. Their presentation is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason as the people of God that we can continue to allow this to happen and not do the same and give him our very best, you know? And that was the mindset behind the motto was, you know, just approaching everything that I do in ministry in a spirit of excellence. And that's really where I'm at in my ministry right now. I'm like, if it ain't excellent, I don't want it. You know, God has even spoke to me recently and told me to decline certain events simply because it's not done in the spirit of excellence. He recently told me that. You know, he told me that. And I'm just a firm believer of just giving God your very best. And I believe once we do that, you'll really see huge doors opening, not only for the kingdom of God, but even for the artists, you know, gospel artists. I even see doors being opened for us that has never been opened simply because we changed our mindset, the way that we do things for him.
That's awesome. We definitely should be out doing the world. I believe the church has a lot of resources where we could actually do that. It's just a lot of division and strife and backbiting,
yes.
And nobody wants to help one another. We're divided.
Say that.
But if we get that mindset that we are on one accord and we are a one body, you know,
yes.
Then I think we can do great exploits in the kingdom. My goodness, Jay Santana of Jay Santana Ministries, businessman, minister, preacher, gospel recording artist, husband, father, life coach, youth leader. Praise
Lord.
God.
Lord, I ain't never had nobody break it down like that. My God and grace. I'm humble. I'm just a servant
yes.
at the end of the day. You know, I want to be remembered as a humble servant of Christ. You know, in spite of all the things he have called me to do and the different titles that I have, you know, the most important thing for me is just remaining humble. Without him, I ain't hitting on nothing. You know, I'm no different than your average drug dealer, your average black man. You know, without God, you know, I'm just another black man. But with God, you know, he has made me victorious, and I'm just grateful.
Yes. Well, I thank you so much. I'm grateful for you joining me, especially on this holiday morning, where we can sit and talk about God, the great things that he's doing in your life and your ministry.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me on In the Flow Live. Come back and let us know, especially when that video releases. Keep in touch with me.
I thank you for having me on the show. It's been such a pleasure, and I felt like I was at home, and you know, you really made me dig deep and just be myself and just honest and open about, you know, the man behind the music. And I'm grateful for this opportunity. Everybody not going to make it.
Amen.
When the streets are paved, we go. That's where I want to be. A place of rest for my soul. It's not a fairy tale or a dream. I don't know about you, but I want to see his face. The King and His grace. I'm not gonna play around. Some people wanna dumb it down. Well, let me ask you this question now. Don't you wanna go with me to a place of rest where you can be free? To sit among the King and all His glory. We won't hear the story I'm talking about.
Tell me.
Amen, Jay Santana and Jay Santana Ministries. That was his single, second single from his album. It's called Heaven. Rachel James is being featured on that track. As always, we thank you for joining us in the Flow Live Radio. I'm your host, Lady Shanika Lachey. Go ahead over to lifeintheoverflowmag.com. The new issue just dropped today. Go ahead and check out the interview right up behind the man and the music, Jay Santana. Also, we're featuring a whole lot of other things in there. Check out the P14 413 Foundation write-up as well. If you or someone you know is interested in gaining viral exposure for their brand, ministry, book, or organization, you can be a guest on In the Flow Live. Go ahead and sign in. Log on to lifeintheoverflowmag.com and be our guest. As always, stay in the flow, where the only way to flow is with our Father leading our way. Be blessed.